All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox!
I have to possess this comic!
Baseball's the breakfast cereal!
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book!
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
This is Geek Stuff, a very sad, special episode of Geek Stuff.
It's true.
Episode 34, Nightcrawler Weeps. And we have to come right out of the gate. I don't think we should fool around today. I think we should come right out of the gate and say that one of comics' great artists has just passed away.
It's true. This past Sunday, Dave Cockrum of Marvel fame, most notably, passed away from complications due to diabetes.
Dave Cockrum was a great comic book artist. He got his start in the early 70s working for DC doing Legion of Superheroes, right?
That's correct.
And he then was handed what at the time was a throwaway job in reinventing and reinvigorating a little book at Marvel you might know as the X-Men.
And not just the X-Men, but that very famous issue, Giant Size X-Men number one.
Right, where your previous X-Men characters or your original X-Men characters... or some of them, or Iceman, maybe, and Angel, and maybe Jean Grey also. I don't think Cyclops. I think Cyclops was the one that was free. Maybe Professor X also were captive somewhere, and they, I guess Cyclops, no, it had to be Professor X too. Why do I not know the storyline for Giant Size X-Men number one today?
I don't know.
I'm like retarded.
It's Dave Cockrum. His loss is...
The point is that Dave and the gentleman who wrote the book...
Len Wein.
They were handed the task of bringing some life to this book, and they decided that they were going to only take the assignment if they could bring their own characters, some of their own characters into the book. And we got such classic characters as Colossus, Storm, Mystique, and of course, perennial X-Men favorite Nightcrawler, who was Dave's original concept for a new Legion character.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
And because of that, he liked that character so much and that idea so much, he was finally able to get it together for the X-Men book, Giant Size X-Men number one. And the rest is history. He also is responsible for the redesign of Wolverine's yellow costume.
Yes.
So it ties into Fantastic as well. Fantastic, as we know, the only character that matters to him is Wolverine. So I figured I'd try to throw one over there just so he could appreciate it.
You know, that's where the haircut came from. I always thought it looked more like Wolverine, but you said Mr. Fantastic, so
your haircut?
Accept that.
Yeah. Your haircut?
Well, at one time, I mean, it was just absolutely huge and kind of grew out in two giant wings. But there was also this big afro in the center of the wings. So
yeah, you know, if you pick that out, it won't get all nappy like that.
Wow.
Just saying.
Wow.
So actually, Herb Trimpe was the first guy to draw Wolverine in Hulk 180. It was actually three issues. 180, which was his real first appearance in the last panel. 181, which is his first full appearance, and 182, which he's also in like one panel.
Right.
Herb Trimpe was the artist on the Hulk at the time and created Wolverine in the yellow costume. But they decided to revamp that costume slightly from its original form, and Dave Cockrum was the guy that did that.
And I found it very interesting that even though he has all of these tie-ins to very important Marvel characters and significant Marvel points in history, he was, when he passed, he was wearing a Superman pajamas with a Batman blanket, and he's going to be cremated in a Green Lantern t-shirt. So,
well, that says a lot, doesn't it?
I guess his love for DC was stronger or truer, perhaps, than his love for Marvel.
Well, I think Dave Cockrum, in his dying statement, says a lot about the comic book industry and Marvel in general. That's all I'm going to say about that. Let's talk about the connection between Dave Cockrum and this program.
Okay.
Dave Cockrum was the first comic book artist I ever met.
Really?
He was also the first comic book artist I ever got a sketch from.
Is that awesome Banff sketch?
It is both Nightcrawler and the Banff in his hand. With the voice bubble that says, Daddy.
Right? It's a great sketch.
It is one of my favorite sketches, and it was my very first comic book sketch that I ever got from the very first comic artist I ever met, which was Dave Cockrum. So, touch a brother heart.
Well, you know, the last bit of art that Dave had done, or the last thing that he drew, was actually a sketch for a fan at a convention, I guess a couple weeks or a month or so prior to his passing. So he was always there for the fans too. Great guy. There's been some talks about what's going to happen with the Hobbit films between New Line Cinema and Sony.
Oh, I know this.
Okay, go ahead.
Peter Jackson is out.
No.
That's what I heard.
Well, it depends on who you talk to. Now, I had heard that originally, too.
See, fantastic. You're laughing at me, but he heard it, too.
It was due to a lawsuit between Sony Entertainment and New Line Cinema.
Oh, wait, I know the rest of this.
Okay.
And because they weren't going to be able to settle the lawsuit quick enough, and Peter Jackson had other stuff that they were going to have to hire another director because the timing wouldn't work.
And do you know who that director potentially was going to be?
No, who?
Sam Raimi.
Yeah, I heard that.
But Saul Zaintz from New Line Cinema has now said... Yeah, I know.
The evil Saul Zaintz. Yeah.
Well, we'll get there in a sec. Let me get through this first.
Okay.
Saul Zaintz from New Line Cinema has said that there is no way that they're going to move forward with the project without Peter Jackson in the driver's seat, which personally I think is the right thing to do anyway.
Right, because after the article was published in Entertainment Weekly, apparently the fan flareback...
Oh, my God.
...feedback was absolutely, undeniably, and utterly negative.
Well, Peter Jackson took
what... We won't see it. We won't look at it. Yeah. We won't support it. We won't do anything.
Peter Jackson took what was very near and dear to a lot of fans for a very long time and really did it justice on the screen. And to take these other projects away from him and give them to somebody else, even if it is someone as great as Sam Raimi, just seems like a travesty. It looks like there's also another project, Lord of the Rings related, that's other than The Hobbit, that
another
Peter Jackson.
Prequel.
Yeah, but what is it going to be? Have they said?
It's got to be, well, it can't be.
It's not going to be The Silmarillion.
No, because that's, wait, it could be The Silmarillion.
Oh, God, I hope not.
The Silmarillion takes place before Lord of the Rings.
Well, The Silmarillion's kind of like, yeah, but it's kind of like a history. It's like reading an encyclopedia.
But there is a storyline that runs through it, yeah?
Yeah. I guess. I don't know.
All I heard is that it is like The Hobbit, a prequel to Lord of the Rings. Now, if that's the case, it would have to be The Silmarillion.
You know what I heard?
What?
It's brand new fiction in the Middle Earth world.
No.
Now.
No, I didn't hear that.
Look at it. You know what? You bought it, too, for like half a second.
I bought it. I wouldn't be surprised, because I was actually going to ask who was working on it, if it was Chris Tolkien.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Who's a bastard.
Imagine
that.
I was going to say, if it's Chris Tolkien stuff, then they're going to have a hard sell there.
Well, Tolkien did a series of books, The War of the Rings, which was atrocious, which is supposed to be based on like bits and pieces
and pamphlets.
He kind of filled in the rumor from his father, but it was awful stuff.
The rumor on the street was that J.R.R. R.J.R.R. Tolkien. Does anyone care about the first three letters, or is it just Tolkien?
It's really just Tolkien.
Tolkien was working on other books in that universe when he died, and that Chris sort of picked up the ball and filled in the gaps poorly, and that became War of the Rings. Quite frankly, I would rather see Peter Jackson adapt the comic satire Board of the Rings than I would want to see Chris's work done.
Well, I'd rather see Peter Jackson do something like Unfinished Tales or The Adventures of Tom Bombadil.
But
or
isn't that now
something along those lines?
But now that could be what it is also, because
it could be
Tom Bombadil. Isn't Tom Bombadil also a pre-story as well?
Well, Tom Bombadil, the character, actually makes an appearance in The Hobbit.
That's where I heard they're going
to
do it.
But he does have a history, obviously, prior to what happens in The Hobbit. And he's such one of those kind of quirky, interesting side characters that he potentially could. But there are a lot of characters from The Hobbit that have histories. Bjorn has an entire history as well. And I think they explore that in some of the Unfinished Tales. So, you know, there are plenty of characters that they could work with.
Well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see as Sony releases more, Sony and New Line, I guess, release more information about that. But are they saying now that Jackson is definitely on board? Is that what the evil Saul Zaintz is saying?
According to Saul Zaintz, Jackson is definitely on board. Now, originally I had heard that Jackson might not be on board because he was tied to or working on the Halo film. But as we had discussed a couple episodes back, the Halo film is kind of
dead,
falling apart at this point.
Yeah.
So with that time now opened and free, it may allow Peter Jackson to wait a little bit for things to settle and then begin work on The Hobbit and whatever else he's going to work on.
I don't know.
So we'll see. Mm. Well, moving on. HBO finally has greenlit the Preacher series. Not a miniseries, it doesn't sound like. It's a one-hour series that they're going to develop based on the Vertigo character from the 90s.
Nice. Preacher.
No casting has been done on it yet.
Of course not.
But the writer-director team has been assembled.
Ooh, this should be exciting.
Writer would be Mark Steven Johnson, who...
Mark Steven Johnson of Daredevil?
Of Daredevil.
Okay. Mark Steven Johnson...
And the upcoming Ghostwriter.
Of the upcoming Ghostwriter?
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm going to go a little further back here. Mark Steven Johnson of Grumpier Old Men.
Wow. You're really flexing your muscles there.
It is the same guy, right?
It is the same guy.
Oh, jeez.
In addition.
All right. Wait a minute. I like Daredevil.
I like Daredevil.
We're fans of Daredevil.
I'm fans of Grumpier Old Men, too.
I'm at least fans of the trailer of Ghost Rider, so... okay, who's going to direct this epic?
Howard Deutsch.
Oh, no. Yeah. Seriously?
Yep.
Come on. Howard Deutsch, the director of Grumpier Old Men?
Yes.
Finally, they'll get to finish all their ideas from Grumpier Old Men. They'll be able to put them in the Preacher series.
Ooh, you know what else he directed?
Oh, yeah, I do know what else he directed. Was he, let me think. Was he pretty in pink?
Oh, he was. He was gorgeous in pink.
Was he the director of that? I thought that was John Hughes.
I don't know.
Did he write that or he direct it? Fantastic.
In 1986, Howard Deutsch directed Pretty in Pink.
Good. So I'm right about that.
So, there
so
you
we've
go.
Got the writer-director team of Grumpier Old Men and the director of Pretty in Pink, who are going to bring to the screen the dark, gritty preacher.
Right. Now, the only saving grace to this, to that tag team, is that Garth Ennis, who was the original writer,
right,
and Steve Dillon, who was the original artist,
mm-hmm.
are going to be co-executive producers.
Okay.
So hopefully they will be able to give enough input and enough direction to this grumpier old duo and keep the show in a good way. Keep it going in a good direction.
Pretty Old Men.
Ew.
In Pink.
Wow.
Grumpier
that sounds like that's for that
pink men.
What's that gay network now that
Oxygen?
Is that what it is?
Or Logo?
The Logo
one of gay those. Network.
It's one of those.
Oh yeah, it is. I've seen some stuff on there. Pretty gay.
Oh.
All right. Well, what do you have? Do you have anything for us today?
Yeah, man, I got tons today. I did so much show prep, it's to choke a horse. DC Direct is continuing their very popular Batman black and white concept
Ooh.
Of statues with the addition of a few names, most notably Alex Ross.
Yes.
And that's a pretty big one. And what this is DC a while back did a couple of books called Batman Black and White.
Mm-hmm.
And what they were was they were short stories done by just the cream of the crop artist-wise, all done in black and white, no color.
Okay.
And they've done two volumes of these now. They're beautiful, beautiful. Alex Ross pieces in there, in fact, are tremendous. And DC Direct decided that they were going to do a statue line associated with this. And if anyone's going to do it, it has to be DC Direct. The company that takes pride in capturing the artist's style, even in three dimensions.
Right.
As we've talked about in the past with action figure lines based on the artistry of Darwin Cook and Tim Sale and Jim Lee and Alex Ross, as it happens. They really are capturing the artist feel, the artist style in these sculpted works. And that continues with their Batman black and white line, which is now up to 11 different statues once all of these have come out. And we just wanted to assemble a little list. Kelly Jones.
Okay.
Matt Wagner.
That piece is amazing.
Fantastic.
I want that one.
I know. Me too. I want them all. I said to you, when I saw them displayed, I guess it had to be at Toy Fair.
We saw them at Toy Fair last February.
Yeah, but I think I've seen them since somewhere else. Somebody I know must
probably
be collecting
probably saw them at San
these.
Diego, too.
No, I don't know if that was... Maybe it was San Diego. In a vertical case, mm-hmm. maybe that was it. They were all assembled and shown together. What a fantastic collection. Fantastic collection. So moving on. Alex Ross, like we said, is also been added to this
right.
list. Paul Pope, who mm-hmm. just did a book called Batman. Fantastic. Google that. Paul Pope, Batman. He'll find out what it is and let me know. I can't remember the name, but it was like a futuristic.
Right.
Brian Boland.
Uh-huh.
Eduardo Rizzo.
Uh-huh.
Joe Kubert, who
right.
obviously a legend.
Sure.
Mike Mignola,
Ugh.
Who obviously a douchebag, but his work is fantastic.
I don't like that piece. To me,
you
it
don't
looks
like that one?
You know why? To me, it kind of looks like Hellboy went on a diet and put on the Batman outfit.
Well, now don't forget there was a crossover book.
I know, but
Batman, Hellboy, Starman. I think.
Yeah, I'm just I couldn't get into it.
Simon Beasley,
that one I like a lot.
Tim Sale,
nah.
No, not the Tim Sale.
You know, I like Tim Sale's work, but I'm not overly keen on his Batman work.
Speaking of Tim Sale, a little side note. I was in the Big Kev's Geek Stuff product archive
uh-huh.
over the weekend, and I was doing some arranging and ordering and databasing. You know, we constantly have to do that, and I have to get down there and make sure that the staff in the product archive is keeping everything up to date.
Have you fed
and
them
in order
yet this week?
And shush. You don't say things like that, okay? These are workers without ID.
Right.
Of course I'm feeding them, dumbass. And I'm paying them a good wage. Do you hear that? I'm paying them a good wage. And they're all legal. They all have green cards. And I was down there, and I happened to be putting away in the product archive the Dark Victory set that we talked about, the Dark Victory line. And I was putting it, coincidentally, I was putting it with the Batman Long Halloween line.
Right.
Also based on the art of Tim Sale.
Right.
So as a kind of a goof, I decided, let me compare what they did between Long Halloween, before the release of the Long Halloween line and the Dark Victory line, and let me take a character that was in both lines, Batman.
Right, obviously.
Same figure.
Is it really?
Same exact figure.
Wow.
I think there might be an accessory difference.
Huh.
Figure, exactly the same.
Wow.
I didn't even notice it. I was laughing. I actually had to turn to one of the foremen, and I was like, Paco, check this out. They're exactly the same. And Paco said something, I don't know, you know, and I was just like, whatever. So anyway, stepping back out of the Big Kev's Geek Stuff product archive. And finally, rounding out the either already out or coming out would be Steve Rude.
Right.
Which is also another fantastic artist to get to do one of these. I am really excited about this, and I want every one of them. And I think everybody out there should check them out. Also, go over to DCComics.com, I think it is, and go to the DC Direct section, and you can check those out. Fantastic, fantastic. If you like Batman, it's a really beautiful collection to have. So what else do you have for us, Matt? Oh, nothing? Well, let me continue then, since I did
I have three more things.
I did show prep today.
I always do show prep. Oh, today. Thank you. Bravo. It's about fucking time. Episode 34.
I had to bring this to the attention of everyone.
The
today.
Movie meal?
Yeah. This is Clerks 2 DVD came out yesterday.
Correct.
And as well as An Evening with Kevin Smith 2, Evening Harder.
Right.
Both of which feature would-be friend of this show, Kevin Smith.
Right.
Who I believe at this point has probably heard at least one episode.
Yes.
Nice. So it's all a matter of timing now before Kevin will grace us with his presence here on the show. We hope.
Or at least his voicemail.
Of course. Or his voicemail. Oh, I didn't even think of that. We should totally do that.
Now that we have, right? We're already there.
We should totally do that as a goof. Because with our luck, he'll answer the phone that day, and he'll be like ambushing him on the show.
Great.
That would be terrible.
He'd hate us.
Anyway, they put out a special edition, not really a special edition of the disc per se of Clerks 2. They put out a gift set, DVD gift set in time for the holidays, obviously. And this is the, I'm going to call it the Mubi Happy Meal version of Clerks 2. And it comes in a Mubi's Happy Meal box.
It does.
Right? Which you pop the top up. It's got the little handle, just like a Happy Meal box. And on the outside, on the back, it's got little like a little word find and a little maze.
Yeah.
It's covered with the Mubi's characters. And on the front, pictures of Clerks 2. And on the side, Jay and Silent Bob. Inside, when you peer inside, you get, check out these fabulous items.
Bum, bum, bum.
First of all, you get the two-disc widescreen edition of Clerks 2.
Excellent.
With tons and tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of extras, including one featuring myself, Big Kev.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. Huh. I'm not telling you where it is. You have to find it on your own.
Ooh.
But I'm in there. You get the Mubi's cup.
Right.
Right. It's just like your typical take-home cup from a fast food place with straw.
I love the fact that it comes with the straw.
That's awesome. You also get the Mubi's visor.
Right. Awesome.
Like the employee's visor, which is great. You know, Graffiti Designs produces the Mubi's shirt.
Right.
which I happen to own.
Yes.
I can now wear the visor with my shirt and completely be a Kevin Smith geek.
Halloween.
But wait, there's more. Uh-huh. Because rounding out that outfit would be the Funployee badge.
Nice.
Where you can add your own name and be a Funployee.
Can you?
Yeah, you can. So it's a beautiful set. It really only costs a few more bucks than the actual DVD.
Right.
So you should definitely check that out. I think that's an awesome. And don't forget, also, a real insight into a genius is these Evening with Kevin Smith discs. If you haven't gotten the first one, you should pick that up. And you should definitely pick up the second one. It is amazing. Amazingly funny stuff.
Excellent. I have some news on our favorite man, mostly because he
Jesse
did.
Falcon?
No. You have another guess?
Joe Quesada?
No. Any more?
Okay. Those are my two favorites.
Okay. The creator of Firefly, because that's how I like to address him.
Josh Whedon.
Joss
Whedon.
Ow. Who is going to be working on a new Buffy comic for Dark Horse this March. This is going to be the storyline that would have been Series 8 of the television show had there been a Season 8.
Wow, that's awesome. And what about Firefly news?
Yeah, there is none.
What?
There is none.
That hack show Buffy is going to get a comic book that's ongoing and we can't get Firefly?
No, I'd even be happy with a Firefly comic book.
Hell yeah, I'd be happy
something.
With a Firefly.
Firefly something.
Anything.
Comic book, isn't there?
No, they did like
a
couple
issues. They did like source books and stuff like that, but nothing like...
They did a couple issues of a comic book.
I know, but nothing
I think it was just a comic adaptation of the Serenity movie, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right, too. If they made a comic book of Firefly, did they introduce new characters, or they just kill off more of them?
Well, no, you'd have to introduce new characters.
Whoa, what do you mean, kill off more of them?
I'm, shit.
Oh, my God. Will you stop? No, wait, hold on.
Who the fuck is watching this show and hasn't seen Serenity?
Attention. The following information is considered spoiler material.
Raise your hand right now.
All right. There's the spoiler alert. And, maybe some people in the room have not gotten through all of Firefly and are waiting to see Serenity.
No.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Hasn't watched all of Firefly
yet. I've seen most of it. But I knew that anyway.
He's got the internet. He knows.
I know. I'm not blind and oblivious to what goes on.
You're a ruiner.
I'm not a ruiner.
You're a ruiner. You're
he's
a spoiler.
Being irresponsible.
Thank God we have a spoiler alert.
I'm not being
alert,
irresponsible.
So people
not,
could,
are you slowly watching the DVDs
no,
episode?
Yeah, well, actually, I've had problems with the, I've owned, I've
my
owned
DVD
the box
is
set.
Scratched.
I've owned the box set three times now. The first time I owned the set, it came with two disc twos, so I returned it, and then it had two disc threes.
I would call
so
you
I
a liar.
It again.
I would call you a liar.
I swear to God.
That has happened to me with Back to the Future.
Yeah,
I opened it up and I had two disc twos.
Yeah, it's like so.
Oh, really?
But yeah. But I know
I
what's going on.
I
and as far
mine.
As your an answer to your question, they wouldn't necessarily have to follow up where Serenity left off. They can do filler stories prior to the Firefly series or between Firefly and Serenity's.
But
there's
that never
of
does
stuff
it for
to do
me.
With
any
characters.
Series that either goes, even the prequels. If there's a prequel or there's a filler story or a side story or whatever, it never does it for me because it doesn't even feel like
you
part
know
of the whole
thing. I got to agree with
but
Fantastic.
You know what, with the Firefly series, right, there's so much stuff that goes on before Firefly starts with Mal and the Browncoats. I'd love to see some of that stuff about the war and about him
but,
being...
But, you know, it's like episode one where you know and you've thought in your head what could possibly have happened to make him like that today, and you're better off leaving that to your imagination because if they try and go and fill that in, you're going to find out that Anakin Skywalker is really a pussy. Right? Wasn't Anakin cooler
in
your
guess
head?
If Hayden Christensen is going to play Mal.
he's kind of got
wasn't,
you there.
Wasn't he a lot cooler in your head when it was like he's been disfigured somehow in a duel, but everything was nondescript and then you got to play. I'm just so fucking pissed with that now that like it's ruined it.
Yep.
I don't want to see Star Wars anything.
I agree with Fantastic. I think we got to push forward. You know, I mean, maybe occasionally there'll be the flashback issue, or there'll be an issue that talks about the war or something like that. But
well,
you
how
know,
can we then how can we then ask for more Firefly and Serenity stuff if we're saying that these topics shouldn't be explored?
I don't think that we can.
Well,
I think that it's
no.
It's
I'm going to disagree with you now.
That's fine.
Because if they're going to push ahead and do new content for the universe that mm-hmm. Firefly takes place in, then they would have to then take that into consideration before doing any new films or TV projects. So in other words, if they replace, let's say for example, in the Serenity movie that a character or two are left changed to the point where they wouldn't be able to come back
right.
in any new stuff, or you know, because they left or something, then whatever character they create, whatever new character they create to fly the ship, shit, would have to
the ship already has a new pilot. The story is over. It's been put to bed. There's no going back and there's no going forward.
The point
is, the way it is, leave it.
The point is, wow, is that heated. They would then need to create new characters, and then if they were to then go back to do more television or film, they would have to incorporate those characters into television and film just the way they would have incorporated them into the comic books.
Look, all I'm saying is I'd like to see more content. That's it. That's it. I don't care what form it's in. I don't care who's in it and who's not in it. I'd just like to see more content.
If you ask for it and it happens and it sucks, I blame you.
You can blame me. That's fine.
You personally.
I'll take the blame. I'll take the,
and then he'll fight you.
You know what? Even though for the most part I was thoroughly angered and disappointed with the new Star Wars stuff, I still enjoyed it. There's still a place for it in my collection and in my Star Wars geekdom. I'm not completely and totally removed from it. I accept it for what it is.
Let's think about the time on Naboo when Jar Jar jumps into the water, and before he jumps into the water, does a triple flip in the air and then does a little splash.
Okay. Let's think about
How can you watch the rest of the movie after that? That's ridiculous.
Well, you know he didn't watch the second movie, so...
I did watch the second movie.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
The thing that Obi-Wan hops around on in the third movie when
yeah.
he's...
That lizard thing?
That lizard thing that's making that cackle. What?
I had one of those in Star Wars Galaxies.
I know.
I just hate
it. I never used it.
Didn't you get it from like Endor or something like that?
No, you get it from... I think it was one of the sign-up things. I think it's if you...
It was one of the like...
No, it's like Mustafar. It's like if you pre-ordered Mustafar.
Oh, yeah.
It was one of those things.
Yeah.
Like the, what you call it, bike.
Right.
The best bike ever.
Uh-huh. I know what you're talking
the
about.
Swoop?
Anyway.
No, not the swoop. The How was that thing called?
I don't care.
The
anyway,
arc speeder.
Yeah. Anyway, Joss Whedon is going to be working on a comic book for Dark Horse. It's going to be season 8 of Buffy. It's going to have to do with those characters and what happens to them after season 7.
Hey.
If it sucks,
hey.
If it doesn't hey. Suck, that's what
hey.
It is.
Hey.
What?
Stop trying to push us forward when I'm reminiscing
no.
about the golden days of Star
Wars Galaxy. I am pushing forward.
Galaxies.
We have a show to do.
Buffy my ass. I hate that shit.
Yeah, I don't like Buffy
that
either.
Budget
All right,
shit.
That's fine.
I never
you
liked
don't
that
have
show.
To like Buffy. Just
you know when
it was
Buffy
a
was
good
funny?
Quality show and a when, lot of people liked it. You don't have to like it.
You know when Buffy was good?
When?
When Pee Wee Herman was in it.
It was good then too.
That was the movie, wasn't it?
It
yeah,
was the
movie.
It
was terrible.
Oh,
Luke
was
Perry,
no,
Christy Swanson.
Oh,
Pee Wee Herman? And
was
wasn't Rutger Hauer in that too? Rutger Hauer.
The best thing to come out of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, of course, was Allison Hannigan.
Well, I would agree with you there. In
Thank
some
you.
Capacity.
Thank you.
So pushing forward, you can cue up my little stinger there, because I got a little bitty bit of Transformers news.
Okay.
So...
Transformers
movie.
Matt's losing his mind.
All right. So released online this week, again on ain'titcoolnews.com, and then pulled very quickly because, you know, everybody knows to go there for stuff, and then popped up in 100 other sites across the internet was a picture of Scorponok chasing a soldier from the upcoming Transformer film.
Okay, here's how crazy he is, and you're going to back me up here. Did you see anything in that picture but three blurry soldiers?
I saw the soldiers, and I saw some stuff that was clearly mechanical. But I didn't see Scorpion. He's there.
He's in the background. I agree. The picture is not a great picture. And I'm not saying that it's a great picture, but it caused a whole lot of buzz and hubbub online because it's another leaked image of a Transformer from the actual film this time, not just production designs or anything like that.
Terrible.
Terrible. What?
And he's so boiled over about it.
No, but at least he's excited. See how excited he is?
Yeah, but like about I'm a just blurry pissed at everything. Picture.
Yeah, I'm not excited about it. I'm telling you.
You should be excited.
You can't even make out what it is.
This is Transformers, and this is a Transformers movie, right?
Uh-huh.
And you like it because at some point in your life, you were a really big Transformers fan. Probably when you were younger, right?
That's true. Like...
And I love G.I. Joe. You could have told me that was a scream from G.I. Joe. I don't know what the hell is going on there, but I said, oh, shit, look at that.
Yeah.
And I would be excited. So, mm-hmm. I don't mind. But again, you still haven't seen Firefly, so it doesn't matter.
Whatever. So anyway, that was online. You can find it. We have it up on our site there. In addition to that.
Yeah, they're looking at it right now going, what the hell is this?
If they haven't seen it already.
What is he? What the?
To that, Sony has actually finally released a trailer with that Venom footage in it. The stuff that was up and that was pulled, that's actually up now available pretty much everywhere.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You can check that out.
You can find that. And the image is pretty readily available everywhere, too. I think it actually premiered on TV when they were showing Spider-Man 2.
On Thanksgiving,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. It was during one of the commercial breaks. It was a quick trailer and had the Venom footage in it. So that's pretty exciting, again, if you haven't seen that the first time.
Is it basically the same trailer we talked about a few weeks ago, but with the Venom footage in it?
Actually, it's kind of like a combination between that trailer and that trailer that they showed at San Diego that they pulled offline. If you remember, if you actually saw the one they showed at San Diego, there was a lot of very rough stuff in it. There was a lot of stuff that was actually just computer imagery, like Spider-Man swinging from building to building, but the buildings weren't complete, and it was obviously like a computer-generated
Spider-Man.
Yeah, it was
still in the mock-up phase.
Yeah, it was like
CG
the mock-up.
Mock-up.
Yeah, so it was kind of like they pulled the good stuff from that trailer and mixed it with some of the stuff from the other trailers, and they created a new teaser, and Venom is actually in it this time. So you could see
Weird.
That now, and it's readily available.
Weird, man. Weird.
And exciting, at least to me.
I'm excited about that one.
All right.
I think that film's going to be dark and gritty.
Thumbs up.
I just wanted to warn you guys.
Uh-huh.
That the next time you play Wii Sports Bowling.
I heard about this.
Do not throw the Wiimote at the screen.
The fucking Wiimote.
When
gets
bowling,
me every time.
You release the B button
right
at the end of the bowling motion. Do not release the entire remote control into your television set. Also, wear the wrist strap. It's a safety concern that I think you guys should know about.
Sure.
Is there a lot of those Wiimotes being thrown through TVs?
I'm sure. If they had to write a little blurb about it, someone must have done it and complained.
Well, I promise you, Fantastic, that the next time I play Wii Sports Bowling, I will have the wrist strap on and I will only release the B button.
Since you're never going to play it,
not a chance.
Really concerned.
Yeah, really not a chance in hell.
No, not so much.
You know, one day we're going to come up here and he's going to have like
a whole Wii
screen
setup.
Over here. He's going to be jumping in the center. This couch is going to be moved back. He's swinging around. We come up and he's all sweating. He's like, what's going on? He's like, nothing.
Nothing. I try to hide my Wiimote.
I was playing PS3.
Just Xbox 360. Just playing Gears of War.
That's it. You know, an adult game.
That whole scenario is ridiculous.
It's bloody. Machine guns.
Anyway.
Yeah, go ahead.
You're so repressed.
Yeah, exactly. While surfing around MySpace this past week, I came across...
Wee-tard.
Thanks.
You're getting one.
Keep going. I came across a profile for someone who's pretty well known on MySpace. It's a... Her MySpace name is Ruby Rocket. She does cosplay at some conventions and stuff like that. And
what is cosplay?
You know, she goes to the conventions as characters from different
she dresses
comic books
up.
And stuff like that.
She's
yeah.
one of those people.
She's one of those people. Except that she is gorgeous looking, which is, you know, and older too. Which is kind of weird, too, because a lot of the cosplay people end up being like them little screaming, fanatical anime people, and they're like all 12.
They have big eyes,
yeah,
big head and little
nose.
And
they wear those goddamn Naruto headbands. I fucking hate it. Anyway, so the reason that I'm bringing this up is because right now she is featured on Maxim's website in their photo blog. She's been in there twice, and it looks like she's going to be in there a couple more times. And based on the response that she gets, which so far has been very positive, they're actually going to give her or potentially give her a spread in the actual magazine itself. And so this is just another example of kind of like the geek culture crossing over into the outskirts of the rest of society.
I will utterly disagree with you.
Why?
Because I don't think the fact that she dresses up like hot superheroes mm-hmm. has anything to do with her getting in the magazine. I think the fact that she is a hottie is what is getting her in
Maxim.
Yeah,
but the pictures that they're posting and the pictures that they're using are of the her ones as
that
Phoenix.
Are the ones that she's having taken and put up on the site on MySpace or what?
But they're
have
talking
you.
About on the photo blog. I don't know if you actually bothered to read it, but they're talking about on the photo blog of having other costumes that they want to be able to put her in and for the shoot and for the spread and this layout.
Yeah, I like to put her in a costume too, called My Sheets.
Okay, well,
is she only like mainstream? Is she like Superman?
No,
Wonder
it's,
Woman.
I mean, it's the characters I've seen so far are Phoenix, Batgirl, Black Widow, Dawn from Cry for Dawn, which is a little more independent.
These are things that are not really known to everybody who knows.
Yeah, no one knows Batgirl and Phoenix.
Well, you know what? But the Phoenix outfit is a traditional Phoenix outfit. It's not like the movie version.
Okay.
So you know, it's not like the regular Joe walking down the street will recognize the green outfit with the yellow emblem as a Phoenix outfit.
My dad knows who Superman is, and he can recognize him, but he's not necessarily going to know.
And he
who
reads Maxim.
He's going to know that.
I think that your assertion that this is a crossover in our culture, I would disagree. I think Maxim is like, it's a hottie who people are enjoying online. Let's put her in our magazine so people buy the magazine. Okay. I think the hero aspect of it is overplayed.
Okay.
What? You disagree, Fantastic?
No, not really.
See? Fantastic's on my side.
All right, so that's fine.
Good. You feel good about yourself?
I feel fine about myself.
Good.
You feel good about shooting me down again?
Why can't I have a different opinion of you and it be not shooting you down?
I'm just saying.
You're a bastard just sitting there.
Why? If I have a different opinion of you,
You're really taking this way too far and way too serious. I really could care less.
It's seriously.
I think you're really upset that I had a different opinion than
not
you.
Not really. Not so much.
I think so.
No.
Fantastic. Yo, what do you think?
I think we should pull the plug on this.
Yeah, I think so too.
On this show?
On this entire episode.
In fact, this is it.
Yeah, you're out.
Fantastic out.
You'll go out in a pine box.
Forgive me if I don't shake hands.
Hi, this is Val Kilmer from the movie Tombstone. You're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Isn't that a daisy?
And he really is big.
What an ugly thing to say.
Stay tuned.
I'm your Huckleberry.
Matt, you have to check out our latest sponsor, the upcoming comic book Shadow Flame from Arcana Studios.
Shadow Flame is written and drawn by Joe Martino and is a story of murder, suicide, genocide, and rebirth on a cosmic scale. It is a story of redemption and a man who has nothing to lose and becomes Earth's only hope.
So ask for Shadow Flame at your local comics retailer coming this February.
For more information, you can go to arcanastudio.com. That's ArcanaStudio.com.
Shadow Flame from Arcana Studios.
And we're back with Geek Stuff, episode 34. Talk about some toy stuff now that's coming out or that's out already. Let's start with what you got over there, Kev.
Well, I think it's A company that we haven't talked nearly enough about.
Okay.
It's NECA.
Yes.
We talked about them before. They're the company that has been doing the Pirates, the good Pirates,
the good Pirates
of the Caribbean action figures. And but they are doing a lot of other licensed stuff as well, movie licensed stuff. They kind of picked up the ball. This is the company that kind of picked up the ball on Movie Maniacs mm-hmm. when McFarlane kind of dropped it.
I would agree.
And NECA has freaking run with it. They have their cult classic Series 5 starting to hit right now, and there are some crazy characters in there. Jigsaw.
Yes.
From the Saw series.
And there are two Jigsaw figures.
Right. And as it turns out, if you've seen Saw 3, Jigsaw with the pig head is actually Shawnee Smith's character.
Right.
But they have released a Jigsaw that is actually him.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
With the red and black, the black with robe with the red piping on
right.
it. And he comes with the puppet. The
yeah.
I want to play a game.
Right.
How's that for a voice?
That was a good one. See? That was good. Well, it sounded good in my headphones. We'll see.
Hello, fantastic. I want to play a game. So, in addition, they also finally, somebody has put out a Hannibal Lecter action figure.
Well, I think for a long time, the holdup with that was that Anthony Hopkins didn't want to lend his likeness to a figure.
To a toy.
Right.
That children would
play
with. Well,
to a toy for that particular character, we should say.
Right. And I think it took a lot of convincing and a lot of presentation by NECA. I'm assuming it probably took them a long time because I know that even back in the McFarlane days that they wanted to
they
do
They tried
Hannibal
for a
Lecter,
long time.
And he just said that he would not lend his image likeness to a toy. And but finally, we have one. And he comes in the straight jacket and jumpsuit
mm-hmm.
on the hand truck
correct
version with the mask, I guess that very famous mask that you can put on him. There's also a great Ash.
Finally, that Ash has been done well.
Right. Well, I like the McFarlane one also.
I like the McFarlane one also, but I've been saying now for a while that there's hard to do variations on Ash.
Right.
Right? There's only a handful of things you can do outside of Ash and Evil Ash.
I think what's great about the NECA Ash is that they've really captured an expression of Bruce Campbell's that hasn't been captured before.
Right.
And it's kind of that smart-ass, kind of one eyebrow up a little bit, kind of looking.
It's the swarmy kind of
right, right.
Ash.
And I think that they haven't yet captured a real Bruce Campbell expression in any of the
mm-hmm.
Army of Darkness stuff that I've seen. And I think that's what's great about this piece.
I believe there's a variant on that piece as well. He's got the stretched face from that scene where he's in the little cabin and he's fighting the other ashes. Isn't that scene?
No.
That's where he gets sucked into the Necronomicon.
Right.
Yeah.
One of the fake ones.
It's the scene where he stretches his face from looking into the wrong version of the Necronomicon. It's a great looking figure. It's a variation on his head. And it's about time that someone captured it.
Yeah, I mean that's a great variation to do there because mm-hmm. again that's another type of another version of the character that you could do
right
and they've done it and that's in that sure. that's actually in that graveyard scene also
yes
so right so moving on they have a couple of box sets coming with that they have a Shaun of the Dead it's called Shaun of the Dead Winchester set. Coming, which is, I guess, towards the end of the movie when Sean grabs the Winchester from off of the top of the bar.
Right.
And his buddy, whose name I forget, the fat dude,
yeah.
who's turning into a zombie who I guess has gotten bit. So that's an exciting set also. They also have from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Beginning... They have some sort of crazy box set with Leatherface hacking up some dude.
That's a great set. I've actually seen that set as well. It's the young Leatherface. He's got his chest opened up. The skin is kind of peeled off the head of the guy on the table. It's a creepy looking figure if you're into the horror.
Yeah, really. I mean, it's really, really well done piece there. And he's really kind of chopping that dude up laying on the brick on the table there. Also, they have a bunch of exciting things coming up. Also, they have a Highlander Medieval 2-pack.
Right.
Which is Connor McLeod and the Kurgan from right. Highlander 1. There should have been only one.
Right.
And these are the classic-looking versions of these characters in there. Connor McLeod in all his Scottish attire.
Right.
Many people have seen that one image of him in the poster with the kind of the wool or fur robe on, and that's kind of where this one is drawn from. The Kurgan in his full sort of crazy armor that he's
right.
wearing during all of that. That's a 2-pack coming out. That's very exciting. You don't get a lot of good Highlander stuff. Sideshow did some great Highlander pieces, but other than that, there's really been nothing.
Right.
And this is nice for the 7-inch sort of film collector. This is a really nice set. Of course, we have to talk about the piece that we have right here in the mm-hmm. studio tonight. And that is a surprise and a delight.
Right.
And it is the V for Vendetta V action figure from NECA.
Right.
So right out of the gate, I'm confused.
Why?
This is a DC license.
Yes.
So why didn't DC Direct do this figure?
You know, I don't know where his place in the DC Direct line would be. You know, I know DC has the license to it, but he doesn't. If DC Direct had a Vertigo line, which they kind of did through DC Direct, he would probably be more. He would probably fit more appropriately in that line than the regular DC Direct line. My guess would be because Warner Brothers. I'm getting right. The film was DC Warner. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so.
Because you know they whore out their licenses all the time. That NECA was able to. To scoop up that figure.
Isn't it interesting, though, that it was a Vertigo book. Wasn't it released under the Vertigo imprint?
It might have been re-released under the Vertigo imprint, but when it was originally released, it wasn't under the Vertigo imprint, I don't believe.
Okay.
Because it came over from Warrior.
Yeah, and it was in the 80s, too, yeah. Wasn't it? I just find it odd that DC Direct decided, or that anybody, or whomever was in charge, decided to pass this off to NECA. Now, not that I'm complaining, because I'm not. I just find it an odd maneuver. On the packaging, though, it does say that the trademark and copyright is DC Comics.
Right.
So, again, that's what drew my odd attention to this piece was,
sure.
Well, besides the fact that it is a killer piece by NECA.
Well, you know, the correlation would be Mattel does Superman movie figures. You know, so maybe if DC were to do a movie version of V, it would be in a DC Direct line, or rather a comic book or a graphic novel version of V, it would have a home in the DC Direct line, but the movie version of the figure is more suited to another company.
You know what, Kev?
Yeah.
I think he's got it.
Yeah, I agree. It just seems an odd one. But let's talk about the piece itself.
Sure.
It's fantastic. Features a couple of points of articulation, not overly articulated, mm-hmm. but with this piece, I don't think you're going to display any super action poses anyway. He kind of he's got the swivel knee joint, which means basically rotating.
Right.
He's got a good hip, two good hip joints, two shoulder joints, wrist joints, and the neck.
Right.
So it's nice.
Is the hat removable?
The hat is removable. Actually comes with the hat off.
Very nice.
Looks very good with the hat on or off. I think that's a difficult thing to do, is to get a hat on a piece that doesn't look like it's humongous sitting on the head. And I think that they've really they've accomplished that here.
Which company did a really good job with hats? Palisades.
Yeah.
When they did the Muppets line,
mm-hmm.
all of those hats were, aside from the fact that they were magnetic, so they actually stuck to the heads very well,
right.
which allowed them to sit on the heads comfortably and not awkwardly.
Right.
They did all of those Muppets hats like perfect.
Right.
So
it's a difficult thing because sometimes, you know, this hat is the kind of that rubbery material mm-hmm. so that it's able to sit on there nice.
Right.
But it does it without looking like it's gotten humongous mm-hmm. sitting on his head. I think it's really, really well done. He has his removable daggers, 6 of them, of course.
Right.
Stands, poses very nice. I think it's a great piece, a really great piece. And, you know, I'm a huge fan of V.
Sure.
So I have 2.
Excellent.
One that I can open. and display. And the other one I like, I really like the packaging. It's really their typical real toys / cult classics packaging.
Right.
But it doesn't fall under either of those. It doesn't really fall under that banner. It's just kind of
an independent
piece.
Put
it out. Yeah.
Yep. And he's the only one in the line from the film that they're slated to do right now. And I just like to throw this out there, kind of correlated, and I heard it very quickly, or I read it very quickly online. Someone is exploring the potential of doing a sequel to the film.
Well, but I hope that's
but I don't
true.
Have really anything on it other than that. I had heard that. So
I hope that is not Ew. Even remotely true.
Right.
Because that would just be terrible.
I agree.
He's dead. Let it go.
Well,
if they want to do something,
they're
going to
do
else,
it with what's her name. They'd follow up with Natalie Portman's character as V, you know, as maybe continuing the revolution or finishing off what her and V had started, something along those lines. I'm not saying I agree with it or I want to see it done, but I mean, you could see where they potentially could try to do something with it.
V, the sequel, it would stand for vagina.
Ew, yuck.
V for vagina. That
you know
would
what
be
station
the sequel.
It's going to be on.
Logo?
Oh, oxygen.
Oh. Damn it, I always get those confused. The gay channel and the other woman's channel.
You just
not
keep
Lifetime?
One of them on the last button on your remote and keep pushing it, so you don't have to.
Is that what you do, Fantastic, to make sure that you have them separated?
He's got a season pass to all the programming.
Ew. I think, getting back to the NECA piece, if NECA really wants to blow away all of us, they should do a shaved-headed Natalie Portman.
Whoa.
In the prison smock or whatever it is from the movie as a convention exclusive, or do her when she's all dolled up like the little girl when she goes to see the priest or whatever that he's trying to kill. They really should do a Natalie Portman figure, and I think it should be a convention exclusive.
I agree.
I think that would be an excellent companion. I think her in the prison outfit would be probably a perfect companion.
Well, I would think
piece.
That if you're going to do V, you have to do at least one of her. I mean, it would stand to reason.
Absolutely. And I think those are two directions that they should explore.
So if anybody from NECA is listening, that's what we want to see.
No, NECA is a great company. They also have just a few more things. Resident Evil's 10th anniversary is coming up. And, of course, they'll be doing figures from that fine series of games and
film.
And no, I think just the
game. Just
games.
The game, right?
Yeah,
I see a Jill Valentine.
I think they're based on the game. And there's also doing something called Player Select Figures.
Yes.
Which are, what do you know about those? Looks like Lara Croft.
Lara Croft is in the first line, as well as Kane from the Legacy of Kane series. Mm-hmm. And there's another one in there, too, that I can't remember off the top of my head. But
do you have this in front of him, in front of yourself, and you're making him guess?
No, I don't. I don't have names.
Isn't that Lara Croft?
That's Lara Croft, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that Kane? That's probably Kane.
Is. That is.
That's
and,
all.
And there's another. There's a third character in there as well, and I can't remember which character it is. But it's Lara Croft, Kane from Legacy of Kane, and a third character in the first wave. And it's taking these what they're calling iconic video game characters and creating them into well-sculpted, well-produced figures. I agree 110% with the Lara Croft figure. As far as modern video game characters goes, she's probably the most iconic. If not the most iconic, one of the most iconic figures.
Not Master Chief?
Well, Master Chief would be one of the other ones. But I think even to a certain extent, Lara Croft goes past that, because I think that maybe if you had like a mom in a store and she saw a Lara Croft figure on the shelf, she'd say, isn't that Tomb Raider, or isn't that Lara Croft or something like
Angelina
that,
as opposed to
the Master Chief. I don't know that it's as recognizable to that other audience.
Right.
But the Kane figure kind of baffles me. I liked Legacy of Kane, and there was a follow-up to it, which I can't remember the name of the game, but I like it. But I don't understand him as an iconic character.
You know what figure for me always begged to be made in a figure just similar to the Lara Croft and Kane over there is Kratos from God of War for PlayStation. He's like, jacked
warrior with these double blades.
Right.
I mean, if you play the game, the art style in the game is awesome, and I think it lends himself perfectly for a figure like that, where you could really make something high quality. Cool.
Well, maybe that's coming in a future wave.
Well, it'll be nice to see good quality video game figures made that are not Halo figures, which are always very good, and not Final Fantasy figures, which take over the market every time they come out. So,
well, they, yeah.
Yeah, they sell huge.
I don't understand it.
I don't even get the. I don't even like the game.
I don't like them either. I only liked really one of them.
I liked a couple of them.
But
I don't know, Fight or Magic.
I liked 3 and 7. Those are the ones I liked. But anyway, in addition to all the stuff that Kev just talked about, we have a couple other things here in the studio with us tonight. This would be series 5 of the Bleeding Edge Goths that are out and hitting, depending on where you are, what stores you're shopping in. I have some of the 7-inch and some of the 12-inch here with me tonight. I am enamored with these figures. I have been a fan of these figures since before Series 1 came out, and I followed them. I followed them completely through. We've actually featured them on the show before. They're just kind of quirky, trendy, based on original concepts and designs figures. I just think that they do a really good job with them. So Series 5 of the 7-inch figures has 4 figures in it total.
Okay.
I have here in front of me Delilah Blackheart, which is probably my favorite figure from the line. Aside from the fact that I really like the design and the sculpt, she's a pirate, so she wins my heart right out of the gate.
Right. You know, it's something that we both enjoy very much, pirates.
Mm-hmm.
The pirate lore, the very chic-ness of pirates these days. Of course, it makes sense that they're going to make a pirate sort of version of one.
Sure.
I have Jacqueline L'Espades. I guess that's Jack of Spades in English.
Right.
Jacqueline
the female version
of Spades. And she looks like a DC character that hangs out with the Joker. I don't want to say any names because I don't want to hear anything. But it's a typical Harlequin outfit.
Right.
Kind of half one color, half another color. And, yeah, she's creepy. Creepy. And she has a spade eye. And both eyes are spades, actually.
Right. And actually, the prop that she has, her little jester stick, is a character from one of the earlier...
Oh, from the Kindergoth lines. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Which is, it's nice how they always try to incorporate other things that they've done before
into
their
little
line.
World.
The other two characters in the line are Joni Rotten, who, you know, she's kind of got like a big stand-up bass, and Mira Immortal, who's kind of a vampire design. You know, she's kind of standing on a little base grave.
Is it Mira or Mina?
Or is it Mina? I'm sorry.
I think Mina. Because Mina,
yeah.
Character from Dracula.
Right. That would be my my flub. But it's, yes, it's Mina Immortal. And I really like these things. I like the originality of the line. I like the fact that they're not based on anything else and that they're created just for these characters.
Right. Yeah, that's very cool. It looks like they have, at least Jacqueline has, she has a couple of points of articulation there.
They always have a handful of points of articulation. Normally the head, and oftentimes the hip. They swivel at the hip or articulated. I don't know in her case if she is.
She's got arms and neck, it looks like.
They all come on a base, on a display base. And so there's no real leg articulation, no knee or foot articulation normally,
right?
Because the base is really part of the figure. These really aren't action figures. They're more like mini sculptures or mini sculpts,
right? And what about Series 5 of the B-Goths? That's
bigger
line.
It's the 12-inch line of the Bleeding Edge Goths.
Right.
There are 5 figures in this line. You have Annabelle Lee, Leda Swanson, Esperanza de Muerte, and Ivana Scream. And you have one over there also.
De Muerte.
Yeah, isn't that what I said? Did I say
de Muerte? Of the dead.
Yeah, of the dead. And who do you have over there, Kate?
Ivana Scream.
Yeah.
I have Red Riding Storm.
Right.
Hubba Hubba.
Storm is actually a character that's appeared in the line a couple of times already. We've seen her, and they kind of keep on doing variations on her.
Because she's hot.
Well, and she has the red hair, which I know that you're very, very fond of.
Yes, putting it mildly.
Right. So, again, these are great little figures, great designs, original. Bleeding Edge has also taken to using these characters and using some of their concepts into some other products, unfortunately, that we don't have here in the studio with us. But they have some books and they have some webtoons and stuff that you can find online. It's begoths.com.
Yes, begoths. Begoths.com. Begoths.
Yeah. So really, they've taken this and they've run with it, and I'm sure that they're going to have more planned for the future because they do very well every time they come out, and we'll have to see what's next.
Yeah, I think this is one of those niche products for mm-hmm. the Hot Topic crowd.
Sure.
It's obviously the little goth girls going to love these. These mm-hmm. are not Barbies. These right. are not mainstream in any way. The girls have piercings in
right.
in lips and things, and they're very appealing on that level to that audience. And I think it's nice to see a company that finds a niche like that and goes after it in such a successful way, like Bleeding Edge has.
Certainly, I would agree with you wholeheartedly.
Matt, in addition to all the great features already available on the home site, BigKevsGeekStuff.com, we have now created a forum so that fans of this show can listen and interact with each other.
Some of the forums include discussions about individual episodes, toys and action figures, comic books, TVs and movies, and other random bits of goodness that you may find online.
The fans of Geek Stuff can now interact with each other, talk about episodes, talk about things that we're discussing on the show, get their own opinions out there. Yeah. Now fans will be able to drop their show ideas right on the forum.
So check out the Geek Stuff forums by going to BigKevsGeekStuff.com and clicking on the forums link.
Yeah, let them fight amongst themselves. We got enough stuff to do.
Hey, this is Samuel L. Jackson from Snakes on a Plane, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
And let's bring this one to a close.
Okay.
By talking about some of the things that we covered tonight in the news.
Sure. We started tonight's episode off by discussing the unfortunate loss of a great, great artist, influential to many Marvel characters, Dave Cockrum.
Yes, Dave's a legendary artist, Marvel artist from the... comics artist, really. Mm-hmm. From the early 70s, responsible for many of the great X-Men characters,
sure.
their look and design. And it's a great unfortunate loss. Dave was the first artist I ever met, first comic book artist I ever met, and the first sketch I ever got.
Aww.
Yeah, it's very sad. Very, very sad. And I actually had a chance to speak to him on a bunch of different occasions, obviously, since mm-hmm. I met him when I was like 13.
Right.
And he was a really nice, always gregarious, nice guy, do anything for the fans, just a tremendous loss for the industry.
In addition to that, we talked about how HBO has finally greenlit the Preacher series. It looks like it's not going to be a miniseries, at least as far as what I can tell based on the verbiage of the press release. It looks like it's going to be just a one-hour series, so...
Well, it's kind of a mixed bag of news there.
It certainly is.
Great that they're going to move ahead with Preacher. However, it's a little terrifying when you realize that the the team behind Grumpier Old Men
right.
is actually going to be bringing Preacher to the small screen, as it were. And while I'm a little nervous, I guess I want to say that I have a little hope for it, considering I was a fan of the Daredevil movie and Mark Steven Johnson's work on it. And I want to be a fan of Ghost Rider, and I know I'm going to be disappointed, but at least right now I can say that I am at least a fan of the trailer. So it kind of gives me hope for the Preacher series, but I'm not overly hopeful.
Will the Preacher be pretty in pink?
We'll tell you. I don't know. Is that how you're teasing it?
Yeah, that's the tease.
Preacher's jacket changed to pink.
We talked about Peter Jackson and his role in the upcoming Hobbit film and the yet-to-be-announced, yet-to-be-disclosed other Tolkien film that's going to be done.
I got to tell you, Matt, I hate this yo-yo shit. He's in, he's out, he's in, he's out. They're doing it, they're not doing it. It's Chris Tolkien's War of the Rings, it's the Silmarillion, it's some fan shit.
It's a rights issue. Apparently Sony had the rights to The Hobbit and New Line had the rights to Lord of the Rings. New Line wanted to do The Hobbit and obviously they had Peter Jackson with them. So we'll see what happens. According to New Line, though, Peter Jackson is still tied to the project.
All right.
So we'll see what happens.
He better be. That fan flashback, reaction to the announcement that he was definitely out was a huge one.
Yes.
No support there.
Very bad.
I talked about a very exciting product hitting the market this week. It is the DVD gift set of Clerks 2.
Mm-hmm.
Comes in a great Mubi Happy Meal box, and inside you get a Happy Meal Mubi cup with a lid and a straw, a Mubi visor, and a Funployee badge.
It's true.
Oh, yeah. And they also include the two-disc widescreen special edition of Clerks 2.
Woohoo!
That's kind of your extra bonus to right. all the fun things all the other that comes in.
Stuff.
Also coming out this week was An Evening with Kevin Smith 2, Evening Harder.
Right.
Which, I swear to you, if you want a good laugh and you want an insight into a pretty smart, funny guy, that's your way in right there.
Definitely.
If you haven't watched the first one, you want to.
Definitely. We also talked about Joss Whedon doing a comic for Dark Horse in March, and it's going to be what would have been Season 8 of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And what happens with those characters after season 7 ends from the TV show, and what they all do and their life after the huge aftermath.
Right, and I can't wait to see who Allison Hannigan's character Willow will hook up with in the new comic book.
Right.
Which is why I'll be thumbing through it at my local retailer.
Sure.
And cursing Joss Whedon for not doing any new Firefly material, which is something we talked about as well.
Mm-hmm.
I also talked about a great series of small size 7.5-inch statues.
Right.
By DC Direct. And they are the Batman black and white statues. These are two color, obviously black and white and gray.
Right.
And they are done based on the work of fantastic artists in the industry like Matt Wagner, Alex Ross, Joe Kubert, Mike Mignola, Tim Sale, just to name a few. And these DC genius sculptors that they have locked away in a room somewhere and are not letting them out are able to translate the artist's style into three dimensions, making this series just a beautiful collection of different views of Batman by these artists. Really, really beautiful. Go over to DCComics.com, DC Direct section, and check those out. We then got into a discussion about NECA, a company that we've mentioned before in the past as doing the good Pirates of the Caribbean toys,
right,
from the films. Their cult classic series 5 has begun to hit stores. It includes such characters as Jigsaw, Ash, Hannibal Lecter, and they've released a single figure, not really tied to any one of their lines per se, of V for Vendetta, an absolutely beautiful piece. As well as a bunch of upcoming stuff for the movie collector, like the Highlander Medieval 2-pack, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the beginning box set. They have some 10th anniversary Resident Evil stuff and a line of player select figures based on video game characters like Lara Croft and Kane. Is it Kane?
Kane, yes.
Right.
From Legacy of Kane.
Legacy of Kane.
In addition to that, we talked about Series 5 of the Bleeding Edge Goths, both the 7-inch and 12-inch lines. Some of the highlights in that line, in the 7-inch line, would be Jacqueline LeSpades and Delilah Blackheart, probably two of my favorite figures from the line. And from the 12-inch line, certainly Red Riding Storm stands out. Again, Bleeding Edge Goths really taking an original concept, taking it to a niche market, and succeeding profoundly.
Yeah, I think it's very important to say that they are very successful at doing this, and that's really, I think it's great when a company finds a niche market and they really are successful in it. That's really good for that company.
Sure.
BEGoths.com would be that one.
Correct. And that's going to wrap up this episode of Geek Stuff, episode 34.
Nightcrawler weeps. And now we'll enter right into the exit music. And
oh, wait a second.
What?
Do we have one more second?
I'm sure we have all the time we want.
Stop that other music, Fantastic. We have one more second. What was with last week's closing music?
What do you mean?
Two Fat Ladies, Kev?
I like the Two Fat Ladies show.
I like the Two Fat Ladies show, too, but as the closing music to Geek
okay,
Stuff?
Look. I edited two complete episodes in 3 days.
Uh-huh.
I didn't eat. I didn't sleep. I was on drugs, if we'll recall. I had major oral surgery the week before. I was in pain. I was on Oxycontin, Percocet, Vicodin. I was on all manner of pain relievers without food or sleep. I was Natalie Portman. I was the Natalie Portman figure that we aren't going to get from NECA. I was delirious. I needed a piece of closing music, and when I was looking for clips for other things, I happened to come across the Two Fat Ladies theme song. I downloaded it. It was there. I thought it was funny, and I put it in there. There's no other explanation. I was delirious. In fact, I didn't even know I had done it until 2 days later when I woke up and listened to the episode myself.
Okay. You need help.
Can I get some slack cut to me, please?
No slack for you. You
Fine.
Need help.
Fine. Wait till you see what I do this week.
You need help.
And on that note, we cue the music.